from KQED.
This is Forum. Welcome to the program. I'm Michael Krasny. Chronicle Books is a child of the summer of love, born in a time of radical politics and art. The Bay Area publisher has stayed independent since 1967 while carving out a niche for printing colorful and whimsical books ranging from the Beatles anthology to How to Speak Wookiee to Tartine Bread. Chronicle Books is celebrating its 50th anniversary with an exhibit at San Francisco Center for the Book, a reading day at San Francisco Library Branches, and of course, a book. And we're joined by Nyan McAvey, the CEO, chairman and CEO of Chronicle Books, also great-grandson of San Francisco Chronicle founder M.H. DeYoung, and good to have you with us.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Sorry, I butchered your name. You know, I'm thinking of Dion DiMucci, you know.
Of course.
And you look at it and you think, Dion, no, it's Nyan.
Why was he Nyan like lion?
And Nyan McAvoy is with us, and congratulations on a very distinguished half century and a very distinctive, in many ways, publishing house. Which was founded, as we said, in the Summer of Love, but had origins tied to the Chronicle. You had a lot of columnists, in fact. You know?
Yes. I think that originally the Chronicle felt that that might be a way that they could pay the columnists more money without actually raising their salaries by publishing books for them.
Well, the story that I found kind of fascinating in terms of the origins of Chronicle Books was you had to compete, even though it was sort of your family, you had to compete against others, there were no advantages or perks to the fact that you were in the competition and family member.
No, well, you know, it's a big family. Some of them love me. A lot of them like me. Some of them kind of indifferent. But when it came right down to it, it was a question of, you know, how much of a difference that would make. And there were some serious bidders on the other side. So I really had to step up.
That's B-I-D-D-E-R or
yes.
B-I-T-T-E-R?
Well, no, B-I-D-D.
Could you talk about some of the family not liking you? I just jumped
I mean, no. It was more just that some of them I were close to, and it's a big family. Some of them not so close to.
Well, what you've done, you know, is pretty remarkable. I mean, given the fact that the publishing world is New York-centric, you know, it has been for this whole half century that you've managed to thrive. And a lot of it, you know, I'm not doing advance work for you here by any means, but a lot of it has to do with innovation and with your leadership. I mean, we're talking about, you know, books that were different from books that were being, I mean, books that were innovative in almost every way.
Well, thank you. I think we were always very focused both on having books that were beautiful and of a very high quality of design and production, and yet trying to keep the prices as reasonable as possible, which is one of the reasons we started in the 80s publishing four-color, beautiful four-color books in paperback, which wasn't really done at that time.
There were a lot of other things, Griffin and Sabine, 1991, pull-out envelopes and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. Some have called it like a Jolly Postman for adults, but it was actually a very innovative book about an artist and his muse, or perhaps an artist and his imagination. But it was came in originally through the children's department, but was clearly not a children's book. So my then assistant, Annie Barrows, took it on as herself and became Nick Bantock's editor.
But you've done a lot of children's books. We ought to mention that as well.
We have done. We do about 100 children's books a year and have done so since the early 90s.
And the first publisher really to aggressively expand into gift and stationery products.
Well, Jack Jensen, who's been our publisher for a long time, was one of the first to realize that it wasn't only bookstores that could sell books, and that, in fact, that not only Williams-Sonoma, but places like later Anthropology and Urban Outfitters were great places to sell books, so that we began to look outside the bookstore so that wasn't our only source of revenue.
We're talking with Nyan McAvoy, who is chair and CEO of Chronicle Books, and they are celebrating their 50th anniversary. They're a locally owned independent publisher in an era of cartels and international conglomerates and all that, and they have maintained that to their credit. Also, I want to talk with you about your background, because I didn't know, for example, all that you have done, I mean, and all that you continue to do, Smithsonian, San Francisco Film Society, SF MoMA, I mean, the list goes on, and an extraordinary contribution, SF Jazz, City Arts and Lectures, and so forth. I think it was Robert Mailer Anderson said 85% of the Bay Area arts you are the linchpin for. That may sound a bit inflated, but
it's inflated.
But there's been a lot. What I didn't know is that you were a Rajneeshi.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I went to Santa Cruz and became, when I was there, I had been to a boarding school run by Benedictine monks before that with an abbot who wrote books on Zen Catholicism. And in the 60s, it was easy to get excited about spirituality and different forms of mysticism. And so I tried a few, taught transcendental meditation for a number of years, and then...
Did you give up a Mercedes to the Rajneesh?
I unfortunately didn't have either a Mercedes or a Rolls like Rajneesh had. But I was up at the commune in Oregon for a while, and I did litigation for them. I served drinks in the bar, and I played drums in the band.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that you're a lawyer and a drummer. Actually, a friend of Mickey Hart's got him published way back when and so forth. Most impressive of all, if I may say so, in all of this to me is the Give Books campaign. Can you talk about that?
I'm sorry,
the Give Books campaign.
Oh, well, yeah.
You're giving a lot of books to a lot of kids and a lot of people. Right?
Yeah, well, that's something very important to us at Chronicle Books, that we give back to the community and that we make – and we feel that making – that books are among the most precious things you can give and provide to others. And so we've always had charitable activities be part of our program.
And I should also mention that Nyan has been involved with Spin and California Home and Design and 7x7. I mean, a pretty expansive and capacious CV, to put it mildly. One of the early successes of Chronicle Books was a cookbook called Sushi. Get you to talk a little bit about how you tapped into that and really popularized West Coast trends.
Well, I think being a West Coast publisher, a San Francisco publisher, has given us a slightly different view of the world than the New York publishers have. And we've been quicker to spot trends in many respects. Back in the early days, I'm amused to look back and see that our first cookbooks, so to speak, were sushi, cold pasta, and on salad, none of which require a great deal of cooking, but all of which were on trend at the time. And we, again, it was a combination of a beautiful photography, a sensibility about what people were interested in and what they would be interested in 18 months, which is about how long it takes a book to go from idea to market, an illustrated book, if you do it, with reasonable care. And so... we then tried to find those topics that people would get excited about and delivered them to them beautifully and inexpensively.
Well, the Beatles anthology was a big breakthrough too. I mean, of course,
yes.
It cost a lot of money.
Yes. We were successfully bid for that book, and I was very excited because it was – when I bought the Chronicle books from the Chronicle Publishing Company, when the family sold the newspapers and the television stations, that was the first book on our first fall list as an independent company. And as a kid who grew up when the Beatles were first hitting their stride, it was a very meaningful book to me, too.
You were also a member of the Rock Bottom Remainders.
Well, I sat in with the Remainders on percussion at Webster Hall in Greenwich Village and at some popcorn shrimp place in Coral Gables and most excitingly for me, at the Fillmore.
How much do you do in terms of day-to-day overseeing things and pretty much managing?
I've pulled back a little bit now because Jack Jensen is now the head of the McAvoy Group and Tyrell Mahoney is the publisher of Chronicle Books. She was our longtime director of sales and marketing and runs the company now. And because I'm on the boards of SF MoMA and UCSF and the Smithsonian American Art Museum, among others, at the McAvoy Ranch, I'm trying to oversee our olive oil and wine business. I have pulled back a little bit.
Yeah, your mother introduced Olive Trees to Sonoma, at least so the
argument. She won a Pioneer Award from the California Olive Council.
I was at one of those harvests, I think I told you before.
Yes.
We went on the air, and it's really it's an experience to remember. After you took over, though, at Chronicle Books, the emphasis shifted to a great degree on design. How did that evolve?
Well, I think that we had... it started actually just before I got there with Jack Jensen and David Barish. And David was our design director, and Jack was the sales director and general manager. And both were passionate about design. And really, when you're looking at a book, apart from the quality of the prose or the quality of the photography, the most important thing really is the design of that book. And I think as a California publisher, not living in a tight urban environment, but living in a state with great natural beauty and resources, I think we were more sensitive to the physicality of the thing.
If you've just joined us, we're talking to Neon McAvoy. He is chair and CEO of Chronicle Books, and many Chronicle Books appreciators, lovers, and 50 years, there's much to appreciate and love. Let's hear from you. If you want to join the program, we invite you to do that now. You can call in on our toll-free number. Number to call is 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also post comments right onto our website or our Facebook page or email us at kqedtalk@gmail.com. That's kqedtalk@gmail.com. Or feel free to tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. But we do want to hear from you and any thoughts and any questions you might have about this extraordinary history of Chronicle Books, which has now been around for 50 years. You know, you look too young for a guy leading a company for 50 years. How has Amazon's changed things for you?
Well, you know, Amazon is our biggest customer, so they've been very good to us. But they're also, their sheer size makes them a sort of an unsettling one because they have so much power in the market.
And you've had, and they also have bookstores, right?
Yes, they started
you also
opening
have
bookstores.
Yeah, so that makes a difference. There's also been a lot of partnerships. Pixar, Lucasfilms. In fact, you started out, I think, didn't you, as a Hollywood agent? So you had some connections.
I did after I went.
You've had so many avatars.
Yeah, after going to Hastings here in San Francisco, I started my. I went down to work at William Morris in Beverly Hills, and but one of my fellow Santa Cruz and Hastings. Alumnus is Roberta Kearney, and she was a lawyer at Lucasfilm around the time I started at Chronicle Books. And so she, with my appreciation of Lucas from a film background and her connection there, we started a long-standing and very productive relationship with Lucasfilm.
Goes all the way back to your beginnings, really.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, there have been partnerships with HBO and with Disney Pixar and with DC Comics.
I mean, yes, I think... Lucasfilm may have been the first where we were licensees of an entertainment property, but we did go on to expand, and we still publish with Pixar and a lot of those content providers.
And let's just talk for a moment. We could bring our callers and listeners into this, but just about some of the people you've worked with. Jim Marshall, whom I knew pretty well.
Yes, I did too.
And who was a character above characters. A famous photographer who actually, you know, it's hard to believe now, but would get on the stage and take the photographs from the stage. You
right.
know, I mean, he had that kind of relationship with a lot of the performers and so forth. But you also worked, like, with Barnaby Conrad.
Yes. Barnaby was actually an old friend of mine, and he told me that he had a manuscript called Absinthe, History in a Bottle, and hadn't found a publisher for it. And I said, great, let's look at it. And he showed it to me, and I think my only editorial contribution was really to suggest he put the murder that scandalized France and got absinthe outlawed from the 10th chapter into the first chapter. And then we published it very successfully. It remained in print for years.
Good editing. Did you have anything to do with his book, Name Dropping?
I did not.
No. So that was mainly the one book you published of Barnaby?
Oh, this is Barnaby, not Barnaby Sr. We did Hemingway's Spain with Barnaby Sr., but with Barnaby, who's around my age.
Your contemporary, yeah.
Yes. We did Martini, Absinthe, and The Cigar, and a series of other books.
Now, it's sort of your notion that bookstores are really growing. I mean, quite the contrary to what some people perceive. And library patronage is increasing, not just homeless people.
Yes. And I think a lot of independent bookstores are there are new ones opening up. I was actually just happy to hear that the Russian Hill bookstore in San Francisco had taken on new, more spacious quarters and had reopened and there recently on Polk Street. Green Apple Books is one of the was deemed by Publishers Weekly one of the best independent bookstore in the country a couple of years ago. And I think that there's still the bookstore fulfills a need for people to actually touch and see the books they want to find. I don't think the search engines on Amazon or anywhere else can compensate for actually seeing and looking at the books.
That's
physically.
Been a big motif of yours. I mean, the feeling of a book, the sensuousness of a book. Right?
Yes. It's what's sustained us. It's part of what's made us different from other publishers. And I think it's what's led to us being continually successful in the various waves of the digital age.
In fact, a quote that Neon McAvoy is known for is, "Chronicle Books, where perfectionism and creativity meet." How does that work in children's books? Because you've had some major successes with children's books. I mean, what identifies a Chronicle book, children's book?
Well, you know, it's if you look at the books we've done recently that have been most successful, like Press Here by Hervé Tullet, or Goodnight, Goodnight Construction Site. Again, it's a very high quality of design and a sense of they're both. Hervé's is a very clever book, sort of a magical book, although it's as if it were interactive, but it's just an analog, ordinary book. But it's got a lot of whimsy to it. And I like to think that our titles have a lot of playfulness and whimsy, as well as a lot of depth and quality.
And we'll bring our callers in, and let's begin, David, with you. David's calling from Petaluma. David, welcome.
Yes, good morning. I'm curious to know, I'm a publisher, first-time publisher of a children's book about my pit bull, a dog I found in Richmond, actually. And I'm curious to know, I tend towards old-school hardcover, but I'm wondering if there's any benefit to keeping it that way or whether I should go straight to an online format.
Well, we have a link to your guidelines on our website, we should mention, but you want to
come,
Neon?
Well, if you wanted to submit the book to us, do check our guidelines. As for the particular issue, it's a little hard for me to opine, really, without seeing the book. I think if you can get it into bookstores in a hardcover format, that is your best path to success, though there's certainly a lot of opportunity online as well.
You get a lot of people hitting on you on this score. You know, how do I get a book published, or how do I get a kid's book published, or so forth, wherever you go. It's like, you know, doctors go to a party and they're asked for medical advice. You're asked for, I've got a son who's writing a book.
I have had a lot of experiences like that, yes. Every once in a while, they pan out into things that are really great, but often they don't go that far.
any particular sterling success story that comes to mind along those lines? Or somebody just hit you over the transom, so to speak?
Yeah. Oh, I think we've had, some right over the transom. Goodnight, Goodnight Construction Site, I believe the text, that was a situation in which we paired the author with the illustrator. And so that's not exactly over the transom, but it's because we do illustrated books, a lot of our books, they're not all agented. They often come in through different paths. Many photographers don't have literary agents per se, for example.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say quickly that I remember in New York, I was in a bar waiting for to meet my cousin and started talking to somebody. And she said, oh, you're in publishing. I have a friend. She's an illustrator. And I said, oh, that's nice. What does she do? And she said, oh, well, you know, she does illustrations for Mercer Mayer. And she began to list off of various very well-known authors. And she said, but she never gets any attention because, you know, that always goes to that guy. She just does the drawings. And I said, really? Why don't you ever contact me? And we ended up publishing that book.
That's a good story. And what can happen in a bar?
Yeah.
Here's Bill, who writes, Chronicle Books does not carry a large backlist of fiction. What is the aim of Chronicle Books regarding new fiction?
We are not your best bet. What we do, I think we do extremely well, but we have found that we're not really set up to do fiction. And so it's very rare that we publish works of fiction.
We just had column Tobin on, but fiction's hard to sell now, isn't it? I mean, let's be realistic.
I think it's always been a bit hard to sell, but yes, more so now.
And here's Michelle from Burlingame. Michelle, join us. Hi.
Hi there. So I used to live in the Richmond, and Green Apple, which you just mentioned, was my neighborhood store. And so I would go there every couple of months to buy these hardcover spiral-bound books that Chronicle Books made. And they were the best. I wrote several novels in them. They were the best notebooks for writing in because the paper was really smooth, and they were spiral, so you could flip over the back cover, and you could use them to write anywhere, like in your car. And I can't find them anymore. I'm wondering if you don't make them or if you might do it again.
Well, I'll look into that. I mean, if they were great, then I think we probably should keep them in print. So I'll check.
And thank you, Michelle, for the call. Keep hunting, and we hope you find them. I was just thinking about this interview with you and just how the changes. I mean, 50 years, going back to almost medieval times in Gutenberg when we think about what's taken place just in technology. I remember CD-ROMs and now Kindles. And I mean, the book business has changed in quantum ways.
It has. And on the other hand, I think, you know, although ebooks have been extremely popular and I think will always be with us, their sales have plateaued a little bit. And I think that whereas, you know, we the last 3 or 4 years have had three of the best years in our history in terms of our success. So there is a lot of change, but I think that it's all part of the new landscape or ecology of book publishing, which is still healthy.
And let me go to another call and remind you that we're talking to Neil McAvoy. He'll be at Rakestraw Books. Excuse me, that was the last segment. Are you going to be anywhere with this 50-year celebration? There's lots of activities going on, actually. That was in my head. Where?
Well, there's an event tomorrow night at the Center for the Book.
That's right.
Yes.
And other things going on that we should know about?
Oh, there are lots of things going on here and there, but I actually don't have the detail with me here now.
We'll try to put them up on our website.
Please, that'd be great.
Also, want to mention the fact that, let me get another caller on here. John Santa Clara, you're on.
Yeah.
John, go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Yeah. I was a bookstore owner back in the 80s, and I've subsequently been both a public and an academic and even a special librarian for special libraries. Any case, I have, over those years, selected quite a number of Chronicle books, either for bookstores or for the public or academic libraries that I've worked at, because of one particular quality, and that is you have always had a great synergy between graphics and text for conveying information. So my question is, with new realities of media and other technologies such as VR and AR, are you going to be employing those and even further expanding that kind of synergy?
Well, you know, at the moment, I still think that the book on paper is our primary stock in trade. Now, but and it's often the keystone for me of what could be an arch that is comprised of many different media, and so and some of which we could be set up to do well. At other times, we've discovered that we are just not technologists. It's not our forte. So we would be very happy to work with others in those fields and to license out property to them to develop.
But it's safe to say, let me thank the caller, that what Chronicle Books has been most known for and continues to be known for, but I suppose we could describe in an unvarnished way as beautiful books that are cheaper in paperback.
Well, yes. I mean, I think the sensuous object, the sort of the beauty of the thing in itself is really what we have been devoted to.
Are you an aesthete, Nia?
No, but I like things that are pretty. But, I mean, well, you could say that I am, I suppose, because I'm on a couple of museum boards and what have you. So I do like art and design are very important to me. But I don't think they need to be precious. I think you can find them in a lot of very sort of mundane or simple things. And I think that that's always should always be part of the consideration of what makes a book great, the typography, the design, the feel of the paper.
And Tamara writes, I'm a huge Chronicle Books fan and can spot a Chronicle book on a shelf from 20 paces. I know when I crack open a Chronicle book, it will be well designed with a little bit of funk and a touch of whimsy. Never disappointed. Keep on with the great work.
Thank you very much.
And we'll keep on with more of your calls. Next caller, Doug, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello. I've worked in the publishing field as an editor, and mostly line editing and some development. But I was wondering about your guest's opinion about what seems to be a decline in the use of editors. I know even newspapers no longer, like the San Jose Mercury News, no longer even has copy editors or proofreaders on staff. And I've noticed a lot of books with all kinds of errors in them have been published from different publishers. I was just wondering about your guest's opinion about that.
I think it's a terrible thing and a bad place to cut costs, personally.
How many editors do you have presently in your employ?
Oh, well, let me see, because we have, let's see, there are children's book editors, cookbook editors, entertainment and design editors. I mean, there are also sort of associate editors and assistant editors. There are a lot of people who are, and managing editors and copy editors. It's quite large when you think about it that way. There are about 160-some people total at Chronicle Books, and I would say about 30 of those are devoted to the editorial function.
And, you know, I was asking you before about 50 years celebration and activities. I think there's going to be an art exhibit at the San Francisco Center for the Book that we should know about.
Yes. And that's tomorrow. An event is open to the public there, but the exhibit will be up for a while, and it's celebrating our dedication to design and the craft of bookmaking. And so I'm quite excited about it.
And you can find information on the Chronicle Book exhibit at the San Francisco Center for the Book at kqed.org/forum. There will also be a Chronicle Books Read Aloud Day at all San Francisco Public Library branches, Thursday, June 29th. So lots of things happening, lots of exciting things happening. And you can also let us know your thoughts about Chronicle Books or any questions you might have by calling us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or post comments on our website or Facebook page or email us at kqedtalk@gmail.com. Can we talk a little bit about your mother?
I'm sorry, about?
Your mother.
Ah, my mother.
She was a reporter at the Chronicle, is that true?
She was. And she was the one who got the scoop on the UN Charter. That was her big achievement as a reporter on the Chronicle. And then she moved to, after I was born, we moved to Washington, D.C. She worked on the Kennedy campaign. She was a founding staff member at the Peace Corps. She worked for the Population Council for many years. She opened Preterm, which was one of the first freestanding nonprofit abortion clinics in the country. She she became interested in business and the family business, and went on the board of the San Francisco Chronicle, where she was famous for her championing journalism and quality reporting, which she was passionate about. And when she left that board, she then got the property in Petaluma and started making olive oil.
Amazing matriarchal woman, and the apple doesn't fall far, and good to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you so
good
much.
To be here.
And again, congratulations on a half century. Nyan McAvoy, again, is chair and CEO of Chronicle Books, great-grandson of San Francisco Chronicle founder M.H.D. Young, and we are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. Remind you, you can always let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum or would like to hear by emailing us, kqedtalk@gmail.com. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.